It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 27. We're going to begin reading with verse 51. And so Matthew chapter 27, verse 51. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to call us here at 217-440-4402. If you'd like to check out our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I'd love for you to check the messages, the studies that we have there. I think you enjoy it. And if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com would be just fine. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Matthew chapter 27, beginning to read with verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. The graves were opened, many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things which were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. Let's go ahead and begin with prayer now after we've read God's precious word. Father, thank you that we can come today and enjoy this time together. I just ask that you would guide and lead us with your Spirit, that he will show us the way through this study today. We cannot learn without the direction and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, I ask that you will guide us today through this study. And I also, Father, would ask that all those that are listening, that they know you as their Savior, because the only time that the Holy Spirit can be our guide is when we have been born again. We have come by faith to the Lord Jesus and trusted in him. And when we do that, when we have repented, first of all, Holy Spirit, show us our sin. And then we need to accept that free gift of salvation that you give us. And that is through your Son, the Lord Jesus. So, Father, it's very simple, and you have made it so clear and so easy for everyone to be saved. You desire that no one would be lost, and so please, Father, just convict the hearts today. Show them who they are, that they're a sinner and they need salvation, and that salvation can be had through your Son, the Lord Jesus. So I ask that you will guide and lead them through that today, that they'll come to know you, and then they can really enjoy the study that we're having today. And so we just ask that you would guide and lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this veil and the importance of this veil, and it really brings us to a place, and we've talked about the Day of Atonement. We've talked about how that it was torn from top to bottom, and we've talked about the size of it and how that it was, anywhere from 1 to 3 inches thick. It could not be torn by man. It could not be even cut by man. And yet God has opened the veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. There's always been two rooms, and the reason there's two rooms is because the first room was the holy place in the temple and in the tabernacle. But in that place, why, you could enjoy the fellowship of the table of showbread. You could smell the sweet incense. It was a beautiful place, golden walls, and the ceiling was embroidered white silk with embroidered beautifully with the cherubims, and in the lampstand, pure gold, shining bright. It was just a beautiful place. But you could not go in and meet with God the Father, because there was a barrier there. There was this veil there. And only once a year could anyone, and that was only the high priest, could enter in, and he could never enter in without the blood. And so you see all the things that were a picture of the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, as he shed his blood on the cross for you and for me. And when he finished that complete work, for years and years, the high priest on the Day of Atonement, that one day he would go in. He'd go in there on behalf of the people. It caused the had to be the death of the animal, the goat. And so as we look at that picture, and we've looked at it many times, now we are finding that upon the Lord Jesus saying it is finished, a lot of things are meant by those words. The old covenant's gone. The new covenant is in place. The ability to go straight to God the Father through the Son, the Lord Jesus, and not have to wait once a year. There is no longer two rooms. There's just one. So there's many things here that we're going to take a look at. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. I love the study in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning to read with verse 19 down through verse 22. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. It's just what I'm talking about. That veil is gone. By a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. You see, now, if you would come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you can go right to God the Father. Why do you think that each time that we pray in Jesus' name? Because that's the only way we can get to God the Father, but we're not barred from going to God the Father to a time period, to just once a year or something like that. We can go any time and all the time because of the Son, the Lord Jesus, but you have to know Jesus to do that. So as we read this here, by a new and living way, which is consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, which now is the Lord Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What a beautiful text. Wonderful words to read. So we see that the veil in the temple was a type of the flesh, the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Symbolically, God dwelt behind the veil. And into God's presence, no ordinary person could enter. Now by the cross, Jesus being the veil, we can go right to the presence of God. But never could anyone enter without the blood, nor did our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Nor did our Savior, the Lord Jesus. As we look at this verse of Scripture, we see that the holiest in the original language reads the holy place. And we talk about the holy place, and we talk about the Holy of Holies. This is the holiest, is that 15 by 15 by 15 high, where the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat is found. When Christ died, And the veil was rent in two. All things were merged. And there was one sanctuary instead of two. In the heavenly tabernacle, then, there's only one compartment, the holiest. And it's within the veil. Jesus being that veil. Today we enter into the holy place by the blood of the Lord Jesus. No one since Adam has dared enter into the presence of God without the blood. And when Adam fell, that ended. But he was the only one, the only human being that had ever was able to talk, see, walk with God. Then he fell. We as believers can enter by the blood, having been cleansed by it. This isn't something that just happens to everybody. There's no such thing as a universal salvation. Many people hold on to that thought, but it's an incorrect doctrine, because there is no such thing as a universal salvation. There's salvation through the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was shed upon the cross of Calvary. And you have to come by faith to the Lord Jesus and believe that he died for you and he rose again. And you need to believe that by faith and faith alone, nothing else. Please don't start adding things to it. That's what was going on in the book of Hebrews. Those Hebrew Christians were beginning to add things to their owning and possessing salvation. They wanted to go back to the temple, and they wanted to continue to offer offerings. They wanted to watch the high priest on the Day of Atonement go into the Holy of Holies, all those things. And God said, no, it's finished. It's done. It's paid for and complete. You don't need that. And if you add to it, then you're saying that Jesus is not enough. The sacrifice that Jesus made was not sufficient to take care of your sin. And when you go to that point, you have no salvation. You must come by faith to Jesus and him alone. And again, the Holy Spirit will convict you of your sin, and he will set you on the path of righteousness through the Lord Jesus Christ. So please, come by faith to him and be born again. We, again, as believers, can enter by the blood, having been cleansed by it, and that's when you come by faith to the Lord Jesus. But you must do that. And please, don't make this statement that, well, I have always believed. I was raised in a Christian home. I have always believed. There's got to be a time in every person's life when you meet Jesus. Now, when the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin, and that opportunity of salvation is there, you can reject that. But that opportunity will be there. But if the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin and you don't like it and you turn away from it, then you're hellbound. You are hellbound. You need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, because I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to be born again. But that is a time that you will know and experience. So please don't let the devil convince you that you have always believed and that's enough, because it is not. Please, please look to the truth. faith. It's got to be by faith. The way of Judaism was the way of death, and it still is. There always had to be the death of an animal. But Christ is the living way. He is not dead. He's alive. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 3. Who, being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Let's go to chapter 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7, 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, by the Lord Jesus, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You must come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Let's go to John chapter 14, verse 6. John 14, verse 6. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Please, that you come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Please, that you trust in him, that you walk with him. When God opened the veil, he demonstrated his power, and he wrote on that veil, finished. And that was a term that should be written across all that had to do with the old covenant, because it was finished. When people see those words or hear those words and around Easter time, resurrection time, why they believe that that's when Jesus finished everything and your sins were taken away. Yes, through the death of the cross, but the scripture is very clear that if he had not risen from the dead, you would still be in your sin. And so, finished brings a lot of things. But the first thing we need to see that it resolved, that it completed, that it finished, was the old covenant. Every law, everything, Jesus fulfilled, completed it. It's done. It's finished. He is the last lamb that was slain, and there should never be another. So now a better and a new and a perfect covenant is offered to everyone. Offered. You need to come by faith to Jesus, and you need to trust in him. We have some great things here that took place. Not only was the veil torn in two from top to bottom, but also the earth did quake. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. It was a tremendous earthquake. Shook the earth. One said it was a great convulsion in protest against the death on the cross of the one who had part, who did the creating. A great earthquake. And when the rocks rent, it means they split open. The rocks split open. Folks that have been to Jerusalem and been in that area, they say that there are rocks that's around this area that have no other explanation than what this earthquake did when those rocks rent, because they're just split in two. And there's no answer for why, other than God showed his power. God showed his power. And the next in verse 52, the graves were opened. The graves were opened. So we have a lot of events here that's taking place. We have the veil, we have the earthquakes, we have the rocks that are rent, and now we have the graves were opened. Not by man, but by the power of Almighty God. Open those graves. Not spirits, they weren't spirits to float through the air, but the bodies arose. The bodies arose. Now the scripture tells us that the bodies of the saints which slept and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. And so I want you to see that as these graves were opened, we're not sure the time, because it was 3 days and three nights before he rose from the dead. And that's when people witnessed him. It was and came out of the graves after his resurrection. Because you see, the Lord Jesus is the first of the resurrection. What moved these folks? What had them? Because down here in verse 54, now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquakes and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. What moved them? Was it the darkness? Was it the veil? Was it the words that they heard before he said it's finished? How about the risen saints? Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. I hope you have your Bible. I hope you can enjoy this. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up from far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, as we read those verses of Scripture, you need to understand that when Jesus died on the cross, he descended down into the place of paradise, or Abraham's bosom. Now, many people believe that he went down to show victory over those that are in hell. I don't believe that. I believe that he went down to take the saints that had died prior to the death of the Lord Jesus. They were in a place kept, a place called paradise in the center of the earth. And the Lord Jesus emptied that out and took them home with him. But you see, he had to be the first of the resurrection. And so when we read that, then we also see back here in Matthew 27, and they came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. And so as we see these events take place, tremendous events, the darkness, the words on the cross, the earthquake, the rocks rent, the veil was torn, never to be repaired again. All these things took place. Surely. And now we find Old Testament saints. Somebody's grandfather. Somebody's grandmother. Somebody's great-grandmother. Who knows who came out of the grave that day and walked in the city and went into the holy city, into Jerusalem, and appeared unto many, the scripture says. You know, some of these folks witnessed when Lazarus was raised from the dead. But here's another event showing the power of God. Let's go back to John 11. John chapter 11. Then they took away, verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave cloths. His face was bound with a napkin, and Jesus said to them, loose him, let him go. There was quite a conversation that was taking place before that, because as we go back down to verse 38, why Jesus there, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. And it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus says, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? And then they took away the stone from the place. And that's just what we had read. What a wonderful story. What a wonderful message. Let's go to John 10, 25 and 26. 10, 25 and 26. And Jesus said, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. I hope you know the Lord Jesus. I hope you've trusted in him. Let's go back to Matthew now, Matthew chapter 20. Verses 19, 18 and 19. Matthew 20, verse 18 and 19. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. All these things were things that were stated, and I'm sure things that were repeated many times. And so when we find this and we see these words and we come down to this next section here, now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake. So we know that they witnessed the darkness, the words, everything. We're going to talk about what happened to that centurion and hopefully many others. So my question always comes, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?